Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Well, good morning. Welcome into our studio. This is Sherry Veronica, and we are live on Sunday with Charlie Spice out of Barbados. Welcome into the studio, Charlie.
Thank you very much for having me again in your studio. It's a pleasure. I like the idea of coming into your studio unprepared, no subjects already or topics already mapped out. We're just having a discussion. As a matter of fact, I like talking about things other than the sex industry from time to time, because I want your audience to see that I'm a normal person. I'm not just all about the sex industry.
Okay, cool. I don't know if you've noticed, there is more in the news regarding young schoolgirls in compromising positions, and the videos are circulating, making the rounds on social media. And when I look back on myself as a young child, kid, I those skills were not skills that I had. And in fact, I had to work myself into having those type of skills, because after a while, your husband will look at you and say, well, do you feel sexy sometimes? Do you ever feel like horny sometimes? It's like, well, if that's what I'm supposed to be as a wife or a girlfriend, maybe I better read up on how to behave that way. And I wonder, when I thought about that, I wonder if young girls are thinking that they have to be sexy and know how to do certain things to be able to get and keep a man. Do you think that that's what the teaching is in terms of dating and sexuality? I know you don't want to talk about your industry, but
No, we can talk about the sex industry. I just would like to think that we can talk about anything, not just the sex industry. I'm glad you raised the subject about schoolgirls involved in sex, and I'm sure some of that sexual activity is commercial sexual activity, because recently I was visited by the it was not a business, it was an impromptu meeting with the chief public health nurse in Barbados, and also a very experienced nurse from the United Kingdom. They came to see me briefly, and this is one of the subjects that came up in the discussion about school kids, and they want to get my opinion on a number of things. And they focus a lot on the public health crisis and how the sex industry impacts on that. But the idea of school kids having sexual activity, non-commercial and commercial, and what were my thoughts? And you know what? Kids today are a lot different to kids when you and I were kids. They have a lot more exposure via the internet. And I think the way we manage kids has got to change. We're still managing kids the way they were managed 50 years ago, and that can't work anymore. Kids are having lots of sex in schools, and I hate when people blame the sex industry or people like me for this. I'm not the reason why kids are having sex, and I do not encourage children into the sex industry. They're in the sex industry because there's a pressure from their peers to have the best mobile phone, the best clothes, the best jewelry, the best shoes from Louis Vuitton and from Christian Louboutin. These are the pressures that are causing kids to get involved in sexual activity. And also, there's a great degree of dysfunctionality within our system within the system in Barbados has already failed the kids. That is why a lot of it isn't happening. It's happening in the homes, in the villages. Any thoughts before I continue?
Please continue, because like I said, when I put myself back in space and time, I wouldn't have known how to do anything like that. And when I say that, yes, I have to admit, and I will admit, that I have watched a couple of what is being circulated, and you can see the skill. There's a skill set with these girls, and the tenderness and the way they do things. It's almost as though they are following a rule book. It cannot be normal. That cannot be normal. That has to be something that they have looked at, maybe practiced on a stick or a banana or something. But there's a skill set associated with what I'm seeing on tape, on videos.
But these girls are seeing this, not only girls, the guys as well. These kids are seeing this via the internet. These kids have access to pornography. They have access to other kids performing sexual activity via the videos that are circulating on mobile phones. And I don't know. We have to, as a society, we have to change our strategy to manage these kids. I think that I don't know how they have to do it, but they certainly have to change. You cannot use the same strategies from 40, 30 years ago. You cannot. And it's happening more and more. So I would like to know what is being done by the Ministry of Education, what is being done by the administration of the schools. We hear a lot about the problem. I don't know enough about the solution. I'm not hearing enough about the solutions that they're putting in place. Do you know of any strategies the authorities are putting in place?
There are no strategies being put in place, and if there were, they're being nailed right as we speak in a coffin, because recently Barbados was named among 10 of the best school systems. They have, I don't know who did the writer, it probably was an English-based, I don't know, if it was a think tank, I don't know if you can call it that, but I'm sure that whoever wrote that particular article is based somewhere in Europe, and there's a reason that they do things like that. And then when Barbadians hear that their school system is so good and it was written up in a paper that the school system is one of the 10 best in the world or what, I did not even read it because I know it's not true. But people use those things as a numbness. They become numb to what is really happening in their society right in front of their faces, just because a white man will say, hey, what you have going on here is pretty good, it's pretty swell, I like what you have going on here. So because they will hear that from a white man, it's like they will not even seek to address things that they see with their very own eyes. So when you talk about it being examined by the Ministry of Education in Barbados, when I saw that article, I saw any solutions that were going to be made being hammered in the coffin. I just saw them going into a coffin and going into the earth, because he's going to use that as a crown, as a feather in his cap.
What I find is that the authorities in Barbados, they do not like when you point out their failures and shortcomings. They don't like when you point out these problems. They don't want to hear that kids are having. They have this bury their head in the sand mentality because they don't want to address it. Because they're fooling themselves. Maybe they hope that they move on to another position and the other person following them will have to deal with it. They don't want to deal with it, and they get upset with people. When that German researcher came to Barbados and he pointed out the level of homosexuality and the HIV/AIDS situation, and also the future projection of HIV/AIDS crisis in Barbados, he was asked to leave the island because they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that was hammered. I'm sorry. That was that was put in a coffin and locked away and went 12 feet deep, not even 6 feet deep, 12 feet deep. You don't want to hear things like that.
You don't want to face these issues head on. And when I talk about, or anybody talks about defensive schools, it's like they listen and they want to, they hope that the rhetoric and the rumors and the scandal will just die down and they don't have to deal with it. I don't understand this. I've not seen a realistic approach to dealing with the problem of sexual activity in the schools. I mean, a head-on, realistic approach, going straight to the problem, the cause, or the perpetrators, and dealing with the problem. I mean, when so many men can get away with having sex and impregnating underage girls, I mean, something is wrong in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong. The number of girls, young girls, who have become pregnant by grown men versus the number of men that were prosecuted for the actual deed, there's a great disparity.
Yeah.
So something is wrong. And now more and more, and these things are on video. These things are circulating. And I don't know. The kids don't seem to be afraid to be seen on video.
I don't understand. See? That's something else. I don't know, because you and I are around the same age group. And I remember as a child, if I went to school and I didn't have, you know the laces for your shoes. I said I had a broken lace and my shoe was not working the way it was supposed to be working. It was such an embarrassment for me, and that's just a lace in a shoe, okay? A lace in a shoe. Could you
got away lucky if I my school shoes,
mm-hmm.
and when I broke my shoes playing football, my father or my mother would take the same shoe and beat me around my head.
No, you're missing my point.
The same shoe.
Yeah, but you're missing my point. I'm talking about from an embarrassment standpoint. I'm saying if I did not have the proper lace in my shoe, if I had half a lace, because sometimes I would use the half instead of having the whole one, because sometimes when you tie it, one piece will pop off. And if I went to school with my shoe lace up like that, that was great. I would hope that no one looked down at my shoe and saw it. It was such an embarrassment.
You know what?
So, but wait. So could you imagine back then that was embarrassment? Could you imagine what it would be to have me on tape having sexual intercourse? I mean, look at this. Can you see the disparity? Can you see the great chasm? Can you see
what you're saying now speaks to what I said before, and that is children are different today, but the strategies are not different. We can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. That is the definition of madness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of insanity. I'm waiting, and you know what? They seem to use deflection to deal with issues. For example, instead of dealing with, I remember when I first talked about schoolgirls having sex, instead of dealing with commercial sexual activity, instead of dealing with that issue or problem head on, they started to level accusations at me that I am encouraging schoolgirls to become prostitutes.
Of course.
Instead of dealing with the problem that I pointed out, they would rather level an accusation against me.
Of course.
And so it's a way of deflection, deflecting the real
or
focus over something else, which is me. So now I become the patsy.
Or they will say, oh, it's not only Barbados, it's all over the world, it's not only Barbados.
Correct. I don't know what has to happen, because I'm seeing the same deflection, the same burying one's head in the sand mentality. I'm seeing not facing the real problem, but hoping it will go away. I really don't.
You know, sometimes when you read, there's a reason I do not believe history books, and I have my reasons. But you know, when they talk about evolution, and they said that when you move from one phase to another, it's a very slow process. And there are even times within our books, the written books, where they said that something happened. There was a upsurge, and they call it missing links. There were some missing links in our because they cannot understand how one thing moved from one way of existing to another way. And if it did happen the way they think it happened, it would have happened relatively in a short time. And like I said before, if evolution is a slow process, so when you see these major jumps, you wonder, where's the link? There's something that's missing that we're not seeing. And that's what I see with the children in our country in Barbados, because to move from being embarrassed over dirty shoes or, you know, a button missing from your uniform or whatever, to go from that to actually having your face plastered all over the world, because at that time it wasn't the world, it was just the little neighborhood you were living in. Now you have, talk about evolution, you have from moving from that to what we are seeing now, and girls, look, they are looking at the camera and licking their mouths and, you know, putting their tongues up. They're actually looking and posturing for the camera to make sure that, hey, make sure you get my face. That's a huge jump. I don't know if it's evolution or devolution. I don't know what it is, but there's a jump. There is something that happened in a relatively short period of time when it comes to no shame. It went from being ashamed, being modest, being shy, to absolutely no shame.
I was told, yes, you're absolutely right, and that concerns me. I want to, before I lose this point, I want to share with you another problem that I faced when I had raised the issue of schoolgirls having sex in the schools, and also commercial sex, because they're doing it as a sexual labor for money. When I raised that point, one of the things that were leveled against me, I can't even think of the right word, but they were also saying that I, Charlie Spice, who am I to be concerned about this? They cannot seem to fathom that Charlie Spice, who is involved in the adult entertainment industry, but I'm involved in the industry where they're consenting adults, okay? They don't seem to fathom that I have the ability, the social and the psychological and the emotional ability to be upset about schoolgirls having sex or commercial sexual activity. Like, who the hell are you to be concerned about that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Can you imagine that? I mean, so I'm not a human being.
They don't see that you can have a separation. They don't see that, you know, we're all multifaceted, because whereas I would say on one end that you have to protect children, children need to be protected. But then on another end, let's say that a particular person did something that is really bad, I can see them taking that person, the family, the wife and everyone, and just killing them off or sending them all off to a different island to live, because whatever is in that person has to be in his children too. So we are multifaceted. We have different thoughts, and you cannot judge someone from just one thing. You have to look at the person as a whole, and that's what I find. I have to look at people as a whole person, and since you can never...
I want to share something with you and your listeners, if you don't mind. It's not sexually related. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, good. I thought I lost you. Okay. I thought you lost me. Sorry, this is your show. Anyway, I recently had a conversation with a person in Barbados whose child was beaten, and was bullied and beaten by another child. And when making the complaint to the administration of the school, she was told that if she went to the police, said, we're only going to send her back to the school to deal with it because it has to be dealt with at a school level. And when dealing with the kids, the administration, she was having difficulties getting to do something. They couldn't find the father, and there was difficulty in bringing the parents together to get it resolved. And as a result, time went by, lots of time went by, and nothing was done about it. They just left it at, well, we can't find the parent. And then when she thought of going to the police, it's a waste of time because the police will send you back to the school. So the school has got to deal with it, the administration of the school, and make the complaint to the police. What the hell is that? This is again shunning responsibility. And so that's the mindset.
That's what I was trying to explain to you before you had that thought that you just spoke of, because like I'm saying, that boy that is beating up that child, and the child is getting it's not being resolved. The child is getting no satisfaction at all. They don't know where the parents are and blah, blah, blah. For me, when there's something bad like that, I always say apples don't fall far from the tree. And you have to look at that. For instance, You heard of when Hitler was in power, there was a guy, I don't know if it was which one it was, but they say history, I don't believe history, but I will quote this. History shows us where there was a daughter born to one of the generals that was in Hitler's army.
Yes.
And the daughter said, knowing my father and how evil and wicked he was, I will never have a child. I will never have children. I consider her an intelligent person. I consider her a very intelligent person to say that, to see what is right in front of you and you make a decision based on what you see instead of saying, oh, my kids are not going to come up like that. Yeah, your child have a 50-50 chance of coming out just like you. Just like you. 50-50 is a toss-up. So when you have children acting up like that and bullies, and then, you know, they come out and become policemen and whatever else, you know, in society, because, you know, they like to, you know, have that kind of power, and people are usually you're usually very cowardly if you let that happen, if you let that continue. But I think that there should be a special place in jails for people like that, for bullies. And
that kid who beat the other child that person, that kid, he committed a felony. A misdemeanor or whatever. That's against the criminal. That's a criminal act. Why is it not possible for the parent to go to the police and get the police to deal with it? Why does the parent have to go to the headmaster?
I don't see how that can be true. I can see if it's like they're calling each other names and bullying and it's just verbal. I can see the Ministry of Education suspending the offender and saying, well, the police saying, well, that has to be handled from that particular ministry. I can see that. But once you are hitting and assaulting someone and causing bodily injuries, that's a police matter.
Yes, that's how I see it as well. But I may need to understand that even the police said that to her, that she should go and complain to the school and let the school deal with it. Then if it needs to be escalated, then the administration of the school would bring it to the police. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
Because that, so what? So suppose he had killed your daughter, then what?
So let's say she arms her daughter with a gun, and when the guy is assaulting the daughter, the gun goes off. So then it becomes a police matter.
Well, you see, there again, this is why I say we are dealing with very antiquated strategies to deal of 50 years ago to deal with problems in 2017, and it doesn't make any sense. People, attitudes and culture has changed, and You know, everything has changed.
For all the listeners on Naked Departure Radio Show, I just want everyone to know that we are in the year 2016, and Charlie Spice has made it. He has taken it all upon himself to put us in the year 2017. So just in case anyone is listening to this, I just want to know you are not living in the future. We are
that's
in
why
the
I
year.
Know. That's why I know. Sorry about that, everyone. Maybe I've been so disappointed with what has been going on in 2016. I can't wait to get into 2017. So forgive me for that. Yes, let's get back to 2016. I have another experience to share with your listeners. I met someone online who wanted to work with my organization and was based in Asia. In talking to this lady, I would suspect that there was a problem because she's not forthcoming with information about her current situation or current location and so on. But she used to find comfort in talking. We talked on a regular basis. And above and beyond what is required for her to be recruited, you know, to work with me. I mean, this is a lady about 26 years old, and she's in Asia working for an organization in the sex industry, and I always suspected that there was a bit of duress, but I couldn't put my hand on it, and every time I went into certain subject matters, she would shy away from that discussion, and, you know, but we made plans when she would, you know, leave that organization and work with me, because she feels more comfortable, more freedom, and so on, you know. She finally escaped, is the best word, from that organization, literally under the cover of darkness. And then the next conversation I had with her, it was a different person. Freedom, freedom, freedom. You know that she was part of an organization involved in various degrees of human trafficking, and she now cannot go back to that part of Asia because they're looking for her. She's now moved on to another place, and she helped a number of other ladies to escape from the management of that organization. You know, when I hear stories like this, and I think of about my relationship with the girls I work with around the world, it is so far removed from all of that crap that people would point at me and accuse me of. I mean, you know, there is a dark side to this industry. Like, there's a dark side to politics as well, not just the intersex industry. There's a dark side to the church as well. I mean, we hear the stories, right? So there's a very dark side, and I've tried my best to stay far away from those elements and from those individuals. But I left Eastern Europe many years ago. I was a victim at some point, various points, of that dark side of the sex industry, and
you were a victim?
Oh, absolutely. There was one point that my passport was confiscated. It was actually I gave up my passport with the understanding that I was going to give reliance in Eastern Europe so that I could open up my own bank account because I was having a shared bank account with people I worked with and so on. But the trick was to get me to give my passport, and they were not going to give it back to me. I actually had to pay to get my passport back. So, like her, I understand what she... Well, I was actually managing the whole organization, but even though I was at top-level management in the organization, I was still a victim. And that, my passport was held by contacting the immigration department for about 5 months until I found a way to get it back, and I left under the cover of darkness early in the morning. My flight was 11 o'clock, I think, and I was at the airport at 5 in the morning.
Wow.
I wasn't missing that flight.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, I can go on with lots of stories of experiences that I've had in Eastern Europe and other parts of Europe as well, where I experienced firsthand the very dark side. And I made a point that when I got away from all of that, I would never do that to anyone.
Right.
I can't see myself doing that.
So wait,
no,
you're saying that you are at high level, so you held on to people's passports?
No, managing never saw any passports. I was in charge of the organization insofar as I did a lot of meeting and greeting of clients.
One second. We're getting off of Block Talk, and we are going on to the other stream. Thank you for visiting us on Block Talk, and we will move on to the next stream. Thank you. Go on. Continue, Charlie.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.